Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. An exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Welcome back to the Modern Yogi Podcast. We're on episode number
92. That was robotic.
That was good. I liked it.
You.
It was like an Indian mom.
That was your shout out to my mom. And my name is Shama Sangeeta.
My name is Priyadarshini.
And my name is Shamali.
And we are on chapter 11, text number 28.
Whoa, we are moving through this fast, ladies.
We did like seven verses last episode.
Faster than our usual,
absolutely.
I'm having the time of my life because we're flying through these verses and it's a really interesting chapter.
The time of my life.
I'm having the time. I thought you were going to join in.
I'm so sorry, I didn't.
She doesn't want this nonsense. I'm having the time of my life.
I knew you guys weren't even going to finish the sentence, so that's why I was like, let's keep going.
I don't know the melody.
I am having the time of my life.
Thank you, Priya.
And I've never felt this way before.
Hey.
But I swear.
That's it. Copyright issues. We can't continue.
Okay. Cut.
Oh, we got a hand from the producer over there.
Okay. Oh, cut it out. But you know what we can copyright? The Modern Yogi Podcast tongue scraper. Okay. Which will be available in a store near you.
Okay. We cannot promise that. When we know for sure, we'll tell you. But for now, it's just a joke.
It's
a reality.
I'm going to talk to manufacturing about it. Okay. All right. Quick recap of the last episode, ladies.
Oh, yeah.
Arjuna speaking.
Well, you know, we talked about how Arjuna has come to a new amount of anxiety that was different than the previous anxiety.
Yeah, yes. He started with anxiety and now we're full circle back to anxiety, but it's different.
Different kind of anxiety.
And if you want to find out why, it involves teeth, tongue scrapers.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys just got to go read the previous episode.
Yeah.
I mean, listen.
Listen to the previous
go
episode.
Go read our previous episode.
Or if you want to read the transcript of our previous episode.
Those are not available anywhere. But, you know, I mean, just read the Gita.
No, you know what's so crazy is that on Spotify sometimes, if you scroll up, it actually shows the transcript of us talking in real time.
Oh, that's so cool.
It is fascinating. AI is crazy.
So good.
And so, yeah, if you want to just hear us word for word speaking on Spotify, I don't know if it's on the other platforms, but on Spotify, word for word, you can see the transcript laid out in real time.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
Appreciate it.
All right. We're continuing on the universal form.
Yeah.
Ladies, can I have the invocation?
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Shakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Translation. I was born in the darkest ignorance and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Chapter 11, text number 28, Priyadarshini.
Yes. Just to preface, we were just talking about how Krishna has all the heads of the opposite army and some of the army from Arjuna's on his mouth. And that's what Arjuna is seeing right now.
Yeah, I mean,
Arjuna is seeing a vision into the future, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's seeing so many soldiers die, both on his side and the evil side.
Right. But the way he's seeing it is also through Krishna, like,
devouring them. I mean, it's heavy stuff. And if you haven't heard the last episode, we left off on like, Priya was really feeling the intensity of like, wow, this is a war. What intense situation for Arjuna to be in. Really heavy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So now just to give that preface, you know, before we read text 28. So text 28, as the many waves of the rivers flow into the ocean, so do all these great warriors enter into your blazing mouths.
Mm. So this is, still more of that. I mean, that's Krishna's form of the destruction. He's going to be there to deliver them. Bring their end.
Yeah, the use of imagery is really interesting here, right? As the waves of the rivers flow into the ocean, like it's a continuous flow, right? And it just happens naturally and it is the way of the universe, right?
Oh,
and so all of these great warriors, this naturally birth, death, old age,
disease. At you poet, Sanjaya. Okay,
scholar.
Me and Sanjaya, I wish we hung out more.
Yeah.
It's been a good influence on me.
No, that is an amazing, like that's really, it honestly gives so much more insight into it because you're saying it's a natural occurrence for the rivers to flow into the ocean as it is a natural occurrence for these warriors to die.
Yeah. Mm.
Wow.
Die and be born and die and be born.
I didn't even think of it that way. They're flowing of rivers. And you know, it's interesting because I've shared before that my spiritual master, he wasn't afraid of death because he said, I'm dealing with Krishna here. If I was dealing just with death, that would be one thing, but I'm dealing with Krishna. And I can't help but wonder, he's delivering some of the warriors in this way because these were the very corrupt, evil warriors. Is this the same way that some of the pious warriors?
Well, I don't think this is actually, like, it's not like Krishna's going to bite these people in his, I think this is just sort of a imagery for their deaths. So, it's not that it's actually happening this way.
Yeah. I think it's symbolic, right? Yes, it's symbolic to be like, okay, this is what's going to happen after they die, right?
Instead of showcasing them killing each other, Arjuna is seeing Krishna being the one to devour them because at the end of the day, Krishna is the controller and the destroyer and everything else. So
Krishna is the beginning, the middle, the end, right?
So it's right. Krishna is showing himself being referenced to another, episode being the thread that's connecting all of the pearls. So instead of showing, like you say, them killing each other, that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Shall we do text 29, Shamasangita?
Yes. Arjuna is still speaking. Arjuna says, I see all people rushing full speed into your mouths as moths dash to destruction in a blazing fire.
Wow.
See, again with the imagery, right?
Yeah. It's like the same. It's like it's meant to be. Yeah. It's a constant. It's meant to be. It's like a natural flow of life.
Mm. Yeah. These are all similes, actually, if you think about it, right? When you use like or as to showcase something similar, these are all similes. So it is very poetic the way that he's using this language.
It's very direct also.
Go ahead. Yeah. Moths dashing, like moths are attracted to flames, right? And so they run towards the flame or any sort of light.
Right.
And so all of these warriors are running towards your mouths because that is the
inevitable death.
Yeah. Ooh, well, touche.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
Text 30, Shyamali.
Oh, Vishnu. Again with the Vishnu. Arjuna says, oh, Vishnu, I see you devouring all people from all sides with your flaming mouths, covering all the universe with your effulgence. You are manifest with terrible scorching rays. It's interesting. Again, the image of tons of rays of sun, but this time it doesn't feel peaceful and bright. It feels overwhelming and scary.
Can you read it one more time?
Yeah.
Oh, Vishnu, I see you devouring all people from all sides with your flaming mouths, covering all the universe with your effulgence. You are manifest with terrible scorching rays.
There's a lot of mouth and teeth content in this chapter, right?
And we're sure that that's not something that Krishna would do on a subtle layer that's like absolutely just for imagery's sake.
Yeah, but maybe it's a message to everyone listening to go to their dentists.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. Or buy a Modern Yogi Podcast tongue scraper. Okay. Yeah. I mean, this is like there's a lot of teeth content and a lot of mouth content. And I feel like at the end of wherever these soldiers go, it's always into the mouth.
Well, I think that's mostly because the first parts in which Arjuna was describing the universal form, he was saying all your heads, right? So I think he's seeing the heads, Krishna's faces and all of that more prevalent. And if you think about like how to showcase the death of people when you're just seeing like up close features, like they can die from going into his eyes or ears. That's like weird imagery, but the mouth is a way to.
Right.
Yeah. And also flaming mouth, right? So in a lot of Eastern traditions, what happens when someone dies is you burn the body, right? You cremate the body. Right. And so like this is, I think there's a touch of notion of like, oh, cremation. And like, that is the burning of the body. That is the death. Right. Yeah.
The end of
now
life.
The universal form itself is not just imagery. That's actually real there. How he's being described. That's all
well,
real.
He's seeing all of this as real, but it's sort of
a vision.
Yeah. Because that's not how they die. They die in the battlefield.
No, I know. Yeah. The people die in the battlefield, but Krishna's form with all the heads and all of that, that's real. That's not just
It's real, but he's also seeing a vision of it because Krishna's showing him, right?
Right.
It's not like we said, right? It's something that is existing and not depending on whether Krishna wants to show it.
Absolutely.
Is it tangible, real? Is it really Krishna? Yes. But it's mostly just like Krishna
showcasing a vision of the future.
Yeah.
Right. But his form is real in the sense compared to, okay, him devouring the people, that's not really happening. Mm. That's just symbolic. So it's not like the universal form is also symbolic. No, that's his universal form.
Yeah.
That's there.
No, that's like a thing,
right,
that's there.
But the devouring of the soldiers, then that would be symbolic
vision
for
of
how
a
they
future.
Die.
Yes. It's yeah. symbolic of how they die.
Yes, yes, mm. yes. Okay, yeah. That's what, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. Okay. Should we keep going?
Yeah. Priyadarshini, text 31.
O Lord of Lords, so fierce a form, please tell me who you are. I offer my obeisances unto you. Please be gracious to me. You're the primal Lord. I want to know about you, for I do not know what your mission is.
Oh, interesting.
This is such a beautiful verse.
Should we break it down?
Yes, one sentence at a time.
O Lord of Lords, so fierce of form, please tell me who you are.
That's so interesting. Like, even we can feel in relationships in this world, right? When you see another side to someone, depending on how drastic that side is, you might feel like, who are you? I don't even know you.
Yeah.
For good or for bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that the question that we're trying to figure out the most in life with, if we believe in a God, please tell me who you are. And then we're just trying to know everything about Krishna.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Because imagine, for how old is Arjuna supposed to be here? For however many decades he was in age, he pictured Krishna as this soft, gentle, loving,
friend, cousin.
Yeah. And he sees this ferocious form all of a sudden. Yeah. And it is like, oh my God, who are you?
Yeah.
It can be disconcerting. Like, it can be scary and shake you up to not feel like... Yeah, I don't know you.
Even if you understand the fact that Krishna is God, and he did, I think Arjuna understood this to some degree in previous chapters. I think seeing it is different, right? Hearing, understanding, perceiving it is different. Seeing it in front of your eyes, Krishna as the destruction, as Krishna as like all of these things, creation, destruction, all of these things. I think that takes it to a whole other level.
I've never really tried to imagine it this deep before because I've never had a long conversation about it like this.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can really imagine it's almost like, I don't know Arjuna's psychology in this moment, but I would imagine it's almost like a loss. Like, you're feeling a loss of like the image of who you once thought you knew. Mm. And it's almost like a loss of like, but wait, who are you? I'm scared. Please be gracious to me. Because this is the second time he's repeating,
please be gracious to me.
He said it already a couple times, at least once for sure.
I don't know if it's a loss so much as like, I need to understand this better because I don't understand it right now. It's so new and so scary to me. I just want to know exactly who you are.
It's kind of like a, just like, I don't know, picture someone looking at you and just blinking like, what?
Yeah.
I thought I knew, but now I know something different. Mm. And it is a little scary.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Who are you? Right.
Right.
But then I think the last part for me is really, I mean, obviously I'll keep reading it then. I offer my obeisances unto you. Please be gracious to me. So he's showing reverence, respect. He's showing that he understands that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, right?
Right.
And he's also asking, because of this fearful position that you're in, please be gracious to me. And then he's saying, you are the primal Lord, which is what Shama was saying earlier, right? Mm-hmm. You are the main, you're needed. It's a primal need. Can you explain primal Lord better?
Isn't that primal, like from time immemorial, right?
Is the primal urge, like the most important.
The main, most important, original.
Yeah. The original, right. The from original time immemorial, the original Lord.
Yeah.
And then I want to know about you, for I do not know what your mission is.
Right. You see him chomping on heads and you're like, so what's the game plan here?
What's
happening?
What's the game plan here? Are we just going to be doing this head eating thing? Because I just want to prepare myself, you know?
Like, I believe in you.
Yeah.
Hey, fill
me in. I just love to know the next 5 steps just so we're going to see how to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly what he's saying.
Yeah.
He's kind of like, okay, so you are guiding me, but now like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, what is your path? Like, how do we move forward together?
Yeah. How do we get from this moment to the head eating? Like, let's jot that down.
Like, he has enough trust in Krishna that he's not like, okay, bye. I'm going this way and you do your thing.
I don't even think he can walk away if he wanted to. even if he wanted to walk away,
right?
Like, you're turning your back on this supreme universal form. I don't think he has the choice right now.
Even if he didn't have a choice, I think the incredible amazement that you any of us wouldn't walk away because it's so fascinating, interesting, like just
right.
Like my eyes would be glued. Yeah.
Like I picture it in a human to human relationship that like, let's bring it down to this earthly plane.
Yeah. Okay.
If your partner that you're in a relationship with reveals this whole side of them that bam, totally bewilders, astonishes you, amazes you, scares you. If it's not solid enough of a relationship, you'd be like, all right, I'm terrified and I'm going to go this
way. That's awkward. Yeah.
But yeah. If you have enough faith in the person, in this is something really out of this world and pure and great, you have enough faith to say, okay, show me what to do. Yeah. Where are we going with this?
Yeah. And if you love the person, you accept all the layers of them, right? And right now, Christian is showing all the layers. Like we're all complex human beings, right? Yeah. We're like layers of an onion. There are good things and bad things and just so many layers. And I think if he loves him and he trusts this relationship, he's also gonna love all these layers.
Yeah. But before you get to that part, because I feel like I can relate to having that experience, the first thing you go is, wait, what's happening?
Yeah.
Totally. What do you mean? Yeah. Who are you? What does that mean for us? Like all of these questions, right? Before you get to the acceptance of yes, of course, you know, I love you no matter what kind of thing, no matter if you're chomping heads or whatever, I think there's a part of you that's like, I need to understand more.
Yeah, yeah, totally, totally. Yeah, and even when I had said earlier, it's almost like a loss. Yeah, maybe not loss isn't the word because a loss sounds negative, but in a way it is a loss of his previous conception of Krishna that he has to now bridge between there is a gap or a discrepancy of there's stuff I don't know. And that can be scary. The unknown, it's a leap of faith. So Arjuna is taking a massive leap of faith.
And it's about to get scarier.
But remember, whenever you need to do a ahimsa communication in your life, you want to say something to somebody, you remember you say, please be gracious to me.
Please be gracious to me.
No one can be a butt to you if you say, please be gracious to me. Okay. Use that. Yes. Take that and use it in your own personal lives.
And I think it's so powerful when you picture, right now Arjuna's kind of like we're imagining him, but if you really picture Arjuna, like in all his glory, what he really looked like back then, they describe like huge arms, strong, powerful warrior. And then he's kind of there crippled with fear. Please be gracious to me. Like,
what did Arjuna say?
Please be gracious.
What did he say?
Please be gracious to me.
That was so beautiful. I love he turned into a little Italian man.
I know. I was like, what was that accent?
Please be gracious to me. Mario, please.
No, but it's so true, actually. If you think about the strongest person you can think of, whether famous or someone you know in your real life, and you see them always be strong. Yeah. He's a Kshatriya. He's supposed to be representing, like, I can defeat anything. I can, you know, conquer anything, like very much that energy. And then he's all of a sudden like, okay, I understand my position. Please be gracious unto me. Like, this is no joke. Like this, there's something more here.
If you remember, Arjuna's the best of the best of the best of the soldiers.
Yeah. Like we haven't even gone into his prowess as a warrior, but if you hear the audible or book version of Mahabharata, he knows how to do all these, like the Brahmastra weapon, how to invocate all these deep prayers to do these mystical weapons that only the demigods know of. Like, far out stuff.
Oh yeah.
And if any one of us was standing next to Arjuna, I would be saying, please be gracious to me, Arjuna. Like I'm afraid. But so then Arjuna saying this, that just adds another layer. Sometimes we don't really picture what's happening or the epicness until we really try to paint the image in our minds.
Yeah. And for like, imagine being the greatest warrior and you're afraid of something.
Yeah.
That must be really scary. Mm-hmm. You know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think we should go on. Text 32.
Think Shama Sangeeta.
Shama Sangeeta. Yes. Okay. No, wow. Krishna is speaking now. Okay. Yeah. You ready?
I'm ready.
I love how excited we're getting. This is so good.
Arjuna's like shaking in my boots. Okay. Now it's time for Krishna.
Can you do it in the voice you'd imagine Krishna to say it in?
Absolutely not. I feel like that would be blasphemous.
That was a good perfect response. I didn't expect it, but great answer. Yeah.
I'm trying to get back to Godhead. Okay.
Like, don't drag me down.
I can't come back again because I did this one really problematic voice on this podcast in one lifetime, and now I'm back again.
I made Arjuna sound like an Italian man.
No, but that's okay. It's fine. This is Krishna.
You didn't read Krishna's words.
Okay, you're right.
You didn't read Arjuna saying something in an Italian voice. Yeah. You just, you know.
Okay, yes.
I feel like I've done this before in many other lifetimes, and now I'm here as a comedian, so I can't come back again.
Okay,
you got this.
Okay, Krishna says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, time I am the great destroyer of worlds, and I have come to destroy all people, with the exception of you, the Pandavas, all the soldiers here on both sides will be slain.
What?
This is the quote from Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer?
Yeah. Oppenheimer.
I'm Oppenheimer. You ever seen that movie over there about the man who built that bomb, Oppenheimer?
Dear Lord.
Yeah. I am the great destroyer of worlds.
Can you read it one more time?
Sure. Yes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "Time I am the great destroyer of worlds, and I have come here to destroy all people. With the exception of you, the Pandavas, all the soldiers here on both sides will be slain."
Wow.
Okay, so there, I feel like there's two parts of this text. One part in which he's generalizing about in general who he is. So when he says, Krishna says, "Time I am the great destroyer of the worlds."
Mm.
I think, does that mean that in general, like we all go through cycles of death and birth and death and birth, and at the end of the day, he is the destroyer? Is that how you guys perceive it?
Well, that could be one. There's so many layers, right? That's definitely there. Yeah. We know Krishna is death. So he'll come for us at the end.
Right.
Hopefully in a good way.
He'll come nicely for us, hopefully. Krishna, please be gracious to us.
Please be gracious to us.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And what's the other way you think of it?
Well, and then I think the other part of it, he's saying, I have come here to destroy all people with the exception of you, Pandava. So that's more in the moment, right? In a general sense, Krishna is time, the destroyer of the worlds. And then in this precise moment, he's come here to destroy all people, all soldiers on both sides, except the Pandavas.
Mm.
So like a general and like a very specific to both.
Right. I think that's totally accurate because Krishna did come in this role, in this specific time, in this dynasty to fulfill also a purpose. He didn't just come to hang out with Arjuna. He needed to kind of cleanse the earth of all the sinful rulers. So that was the purpose. Everyone needed to die except the Pandavas. And in a way, this answers, I think, even further the question, Priya, when you said, I think it was the previous episode, why did it have to be Arjuna that had to fight if it was going to happen anyways? Well, there you go. The Pandavas really were the only ones that survived.
Yeah.
Everyone else was slain.
Yeah. Actually, Prabhupada says here in the purport, he says, the Lord is saying that even if he did not fight, every one of them would be destroyed, for that was his plan, meaning Krishna's plan.
Yep.
If Arjuna stopped fighting, they would die in another way. Death could not be checked even if he did not fight.
Mm.
Wow. And the next line is deep. In fact, they were already dead.
Mm-hmm.
There's an interesting comparison of tonality, right? So the last time Krishna spoke, it was chapter 11, text 8. And he said something so nicely, cannot see me with your present eyes. Therefore, I give you divine eyes. Behold my mystic opulence. And then, so just know, like, that's like generous, like you can't see me with your eyes. So here, therefore, I'm going to give you this beautiful VR headset where you can see my divine vision. And then shift in tonality, because I want you to imagine this great, colossal, big, universal form. And the tone of this verse is in that mood of who Krishna is right now, right?
Yeah.
Because remember, we're still seeing the universal form. And it's just like, he's not like, there's no pleasantries. He's like cutting to the chase. It's like, this is who I am. Time I am, the great destroyer of worlds, and I have come here to destroy all people. Like, the tonality change in the universal form is so different and so contrary to how Krishna was in the beginning of this book, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good point. Yeah.
It also,
it's powerful.
It's super powerful. And I also think it very much answers the question I had on the previous episode.
Right.
Because I was like, but why does Arjuna have to do this? And I think Prabhupada here and Krishna are both explaining to us that, like, I think this is what I'm understanding. So you guys clarify me if I'm understanding it differently. I think Krishna is saying if they were not to die in this battlefield, they would die a different way. It is meant to be that they die in this way. I am sort of resetting humanity.
Yeah.
I am resetting, you know, the balances of good and evil. And this is going to happen whether you fight or not.
Right, right. Absolutely. Right. Because your initial question was, why did it have to be Arjuna?
Right. And in a sense, I think Krishna is saying, like, just because it's your duty, there is nothing to it about, like, if you didn't, this would happen anyway. So you just do your duty.
Yep.
Right. Because the line right before that whole part you read, Priya, was basically saying, Arjuna, no surprise, he wasn't in favor of the fight. He thought it was better not to fight. And then there would be no frustration, right? Because, right, in a way, I think Arjuna thought if the fight didn't happen, his family wouldn't die.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that would be easier for everybody.
Right. Because there was a part, I don't know if it was in the Mahabharata or here, that Arjuna talked about, yeah, what good is it to have this whole kingdom and all the riches if my family isn't even alive?
In the Gita, yeah.
What good is it?
Yeah.
So, right, yeah. Arjuna was against it because he thought there would be no frustration because things would continue as they are.
Yeah, it would be a lose-lose.
Right, that's why Krishna replied this, that they were already dead. So might as well do it in this way under my instruction.
Which, again, sounds so intense. Yeah. But if you understand, like, I guess, karma, reincarnation and everything, he's saying, first of all, they were going to die no matter what. But second of all, I have decided that this is where everyone's going to die except the Pandavas. So this was going to happen regardless based on the decision that I made sort of thing.
Interesting, because you know what? We can, and just briefly, we can apply this to our own lives whenever we go through a pain, a suffering, someone hurts us, anything. You might think, you know what? This was just the instrument. This was meant to happen to me one way or another, whether it was this person or this situation or another one. Krishna will find the way to deliver me this learning lesson.
Mm. For sure.
Yeah. You guys ever seen the movie series Final Destination?
Maybe.
I know what you're talking about, but no, because I don't like scary stuff.
Oh, it was in the early 2000s. Anyways. So like the whole premise is that the way that you're going to die is already laid out. But if the moment you try to escape death, it doesn't matter. It's still going to find you in the way that it was supposed to find you. Mm. Right. So it's very similar here where it's like, okay, this is going to happen no matter what, whether you play a role or not. It's going to happen.
Yeah. Mm.
And in a way, this will be for them probably the most auspicious way to die because it's at the hands of Krishna and his eternal associates, you know? Yeah, any other death wouldn't be as glorified.
That's fair.
Ooh, wow. Krishna came in hard.
Yo, Krishna's coming in hot in this universal form. Okay. And like the shift in verbiage and tonality is like really emphasizing that, hey, like I know I'm God and I can be gentle and cute and try to guide you and be your friend and all that stuff. But there are so many sides to me. Like when it's time to like deliver karma, like this is the mood that I'm going to be in. And I respect that. That's pretty like boss mentality.
It's necessary.
It's necessary, right? It's because the world is a harsh place. And if we have a God who's gentle, but also tough, then it's like, he can handle everything.
Yeah. Also, if I was Arjuna, which, you know, if I can put myself in his shoes, you know, last episode I was like, well, why does it have to be me? And in this, and if I'm Arjuna listening to Krishna say what he just said, I would be like, okay, so I just got to listen to you. You've told me you are the supreme. You've told me you've decided this. You told me this is my dharma. Mm. I understand this is my dharma. Okay. I just got to do it. Right. Like for a person who is in a place of indecision, after hearing and understanding all of that, it's still a hard decision. And Krishna saying, you really don't have like whatever choice you choose, it doesn't matter. The outcome will be the same. Mm. Right. So just do your duty.
I like, Priya, that in the previous episode, you expressed that apprehension at, why is Krishna, it sounds harsh that Krishna's pushing him to kill them, because it's almost like we're real time experiencing Arjuna's emotions with him to the point where really Krishna, it almost seems inhumane that you're telling him to do this. And then on the flip side, like we think Arjuna has points, like, yeah, it makes sense what Arjuna's saying. Why is Krishna doing this? And then we hear Krishna's argument is like, ah, okay, right. I get it. Like, it's just so interesting that we as the reader go through Arjuna's emotions.
Yeah. No, for sure.
It's also important to remember that no one is in control except for Krishna, whether in this situation or in our personal lives, right? There are things that are going to happen, things that are taken away, things that we get, like bad situations, like car accidents, whatever it is, right? There are things that happen to us. And we have to remember that we are not in control. Whatever karma is meant to play out is meant to play out.
Yeah.
And that is so hard to accept. But the moment we understand it and surrender to it, it's also a blissful way to live too.
Mm. Yeah.
You apply that very well, Shama, in your life, right?
I try to, because I have to remember that I'm not in control. And the moment I think I'm in control of anything, I'm only fooling myself, you know? So like all I can control are my own thoughts and my own actions. And beyond that, I can't control anything else.
Yeah.
That's it.
We really can't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think you should read the next one. It's like Krishna's just like, whew.
Yeah, okay. He's getting in there. He's coming in hot.
Very.
Coming in hot.
Text 33, Shyamali.
Okay. Krishna says, therefore, get up, prepare to fight and win glory. Conquer your enemies and enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They are already put to death by my arrangement. And you, O Svayasachi?
Savyasachi.
say it again?
Savyasachi.
Savyasachi can be but an instrument in the fight. Oh, wow. That was very commanding.
Right? Yeah. He's still in that mood. Yeah.
Okay. Therefore, get up. Prepare to fight and win glory. Conquer your enemies and enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They are already put to death by my arrangement. And you, O Savyasachi, can be but an instrument in the fight. So interesting.
God. Okay, first and foremost, I want to say that the word Savyasachi, or that I've heard that term before, but it's like a luxury Lenga, like fashion design.
Oh, interesting.
It is a brand. Very, very luxurious.
Very, very luxurious brand. And I've never knew that it was related to Krishna in some way. And so it's really cool to see.
It's actually a name for Arjuna. It says, refers to one who can shoot arrows very expertly in the field.
Huh. Right. That's interesting. So, and for this verse, it has that meaning that thus Arjuna is addressed as an expert warrior capable of delivering arrows to kill his enemies. And quote, just become an instrument.
Well, it's very ironic that it's now a luxury sari brand, but we're going to let that one go.
Right. Yeah. And I think in terms of just becoming an instrument, I think I'm just feeling Arjuna and I'm understanding it more and more. Mm. You have a choice. You could leave if you want to, but if you understand Dharma, you understand it is your responsibility to fight as like a Kshatriya. That is your job. But at the end of the day, like what I want you to know is regardless of whether you fight or not, they will die.
Yeah.
And because you know that, the best thing that you can do is do your Dharma, continue moving forward and just be an instrument for what decision I've already made.
Mm. Totally.
That's
totally.
So real. That's so real.
Absolutely. It's so interesting understanding more of, how Arjuna might be interpreting this. Like Shama, you were saying, the shift in Krishna's tone, things are getting intense. Yeah. Things are getting real. And, like you were saying, Priya, how Arjuna's processing it. Right. The whole world, Prabhupada said, is moving according to the plan of Krishna. And someone who just isn't aware of that, Prabhupada calls them foolish persons, who don't have sufficient knowledge, think that nature is moving without a plan and all manifestations are but accidental formations. And we've already established not a blade of grass moves without Krishna's control. Mm. So this is like, why would this be any different?
The niceties and the pleasantries are out the window right now.
Right.
He's just like, literally just like, therefore get up. Prepare to fight and win glory.
Right.
Yeah. It says, Prabhupada says, thus the battle of Kurukshetra was fought according to the plan of God. He had already made a plan. He already had decided how it was going to go.
Yeah.
And I think that applies to our life too, right? I think Krishna already has a plan for all of our lives and we just have to do the work, right? And then the rest, that's it. We just have to be the instrument. I think an astrologer once told me with like regards to my comedy career, he was like, you have to just write the jokes without attachment to anything. Mm. And Krishna has already laid out that plan for you, but you have to do the work without any attachment to fame or anything in regards to the comedy career. And I was like, we just have to trust that, you know, we just have to like do the work and know that Krishna will take care of us at the end. And in whatever shape and form karmically it needs to manifest, we just need to trust.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that some people might question, well, what about free will and all of that? I think the reality is Arjuna has free will right now. Mm. He's having this conversation because he was going to choose to leave and walk away from all of this. And he could still do so. Mm. But Krishna is saying, because we have the free will, it's good to inform ourselves and understand the situation and understand what the plan is, right?
Ooh, you know what this makes me think of? Because talking about free will, that's a good point. Like one might think, oh, if everything's predestined, do we not have free will? Yeah, we totally have free will to act in a proper way or act in a way that will acquire more karma, which made me think of the other day we heard Bhaji Narayan Swami talk and he referenced the verse, action in action versus what's that verse we read that we broke down, the super complicated one?
In action.
Right. Mm. So basically action being karma. So the Bhagavad Gita gives us, basically Krishna has given Arjuna the steps prior to this of how to act in a proper way that won't acquire more karma versus not acting at all, which he wanted to run away to the forest, ultimately would gain him bad karma, essentially, because he's not doing his duty.
Right.
So we do have free will, but with that free will, hopefully we will choose to act in accordance to the divine plan being laid out in front of us.
Yeah. Which can be really hard to tell in a given moment.
Right.
Arjuna's having someone tell him exactly what to do, but we don't necessarily have that
all
the time. So we got to listen to Krishna in our hearts and our guts because Krishna is there to guide us.
Yeah. And I get theoretically that Arjuna has free will, but imagine like, you've seen 100,000 suns and mouths and bellies and teeth and like all these demigods and literally everything that has been laid out in this chapter. And then Krishna says something like, get up and fight. He's like, and like, I don't, nah. I like, Arjuna would be shaking in his boots. Like, if you know, like I would listen to anything that Krishna says at that moment because I need to do it. Otherwise you're going to kill me. Like, I mean, he's not going to kill him, but like, like I would be shaking in my boots right now if someone yelled at me and said this.
But we're not even done with this Bhagavad Gita. So who knows what else Krishna will say or how else he'll say it.
I like how, wait, sorry, repeat the last line that you said, Priya.
We're not even, I mean, we're almost done, but we're not quite there yet. And so there's so much for Krishna to still say and how he will say it too. Because right now he's like, none of this nonsense anymore. I've been sweet. I've been loving. I've explained all the things, but you have to understand this is going to happen no matter what. Just get up and do what you're supposed to do.
Right.
But in any conversation, in any maybe argument or conflict that there might be, there will be a moment in which everything will be very intense and then it can calm down again. And then it can be like, well, you know what? I love you no matter what.
And if I was Arjuna in this situation and knowing me is like super non-confrontational, this is the exact moment in the Gita where I would start crying.
At this point.
Like at this moment, I'd be like, okay. You know, like I would just like ball of tears.
You know, I like there's one part of the purport where Prabhupada says, because he's basically saying everything's moving in accordance to Krishna's plan. Foolish persons think that maybe it's all by accident. So then Prabhupada says, there's many so-called scientists who suggest that, well, perhaps it is this way, all by accident, maybe like that, but there's no question, perhaps, maybe, they're theorizing. There is a specific plan being carried out in this material world. And Prabhupada says, what is this plan? That this whole cosmic manifestation is a chance for the conditioned souls to go back to Godhead, back home. Mm. And it made me think of, again, because we just heard his talk, what Bhadranarayan Swami says, that if in nature and physics and all the sciences, there's all of these laws that govern that, right? Numerous laws. I can't even remember. Back to the science. For every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction. But there's laws that govern the physical world. Why would we think that there are no laws that govern our human bodies? Do we not think, do we think we can just go through the world totally free of all governing laws, like the law of karma? Do we think we wouldn't, if laws apply to every aspect of this world, how would we go move forwards in life without any laws applying to us? So basically is trying to fine tune, what is God's plan? How can I move in accordance to God's plan? And it's easy here because Arjuna is being told what the plan is.
Literally seen the plan.
Yeah, and we can learn from Arjuna to understand what he was thinking and kind of make all our choices. I am so excited for the next mini. Like I'm just looking forward to what else Krishna's going to say.
Well, should we get to it?
Yes.
Let's do it.
All right. Priyadarshini text 34, right?
Oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Drona, Bhishma, Jayadratha, Karna, and other great warriors have already been destroyed by me. Therefore, kill them and do not be disturbed. Simply fight and you will banish your enemies in battle.
Vanquish
your enemies in battle.
Nice. Okay, so all of these people, Drona, Bhishma, these are all the Kauravas, right? Mm. This is on the evil side. And other great warriors have been destroyed by me, Krishna. Therefore, kill them. Do not be disturbed.
He's reiterating the same sort of message as the previous text.
Yeah, and the purport's sweet because it says every plan is made by the Supreme Personality, by Krishna, but he's so kind and merciful to his devotees that he wants to give the credit to his devotees who carry out his plan according to his desire. Aww. Here it feels a little tough love, like, okay, Arjuna, you got it. Go kill him for me. In our own lives, it'll be a little more easygoing. Whenever we do great things, that was probably Krishna's plan.
Oh my God, yeah.
Right?
Like this podcast.
I was literally just thinking about that.
We just happened to be, you know,
in
the
LA.
Instruments that Krishna wanted to execute this plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
he gave us like a sound engineer, just like who you happen to be married to. And then we're at Ella's house, which is the social media. Like we literally
there wasn't
a lot of
together.
Work that it naturally came together. I think Krishna was the puppet master.
Oh, I think
all
we all felt that, how seamlessly it came together. Krishna was behind
and
it.
And I got to say, we get a lot of, I mean, a few at least messages here and there of people who want to do a podcast too. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's like a single person, they'll ask me like, oh, like how did you guys do it? And I, sometimes it's, I'm like not sure what to say because it's, it really was Krishna's plan. Like the fact that we all came together, there's five of us, each person does something different and it all comes together and it is so much work and everyone's just so happy to dedicate this time. And it's incredible. And I think it would be really hard to recreate. It's hard.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Unless you're very determined or unless Krishna has a plan for you because it hasn't felt so hard for us.
Yeah. Literally Krishna is puppeteering this whole thing because we didn't do a lot of hard work for it to happen.
Totally.
I mean, we do the hard work now. Like there is a lot of effort, but in order for it to manifest, it was very, very Krishna's hand.
Oh yeah. So yeah. And Krishna's letting us like be the faces of it and take the credit, quote unquote, as Prabhupada says, he's so merciful and loving, but he's really the silent orchestrator behind it all and takes no credit for any of it.
Yeah. And if Krishna is our talents, right? Then Krishna is speaking through us.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Oftentimes I feel that way. Sometimes we feel more prepared, like we read more, we highlight more, we do. Sometimes we have a little less, but it does feel like Krishna speaking. Like you, whatever we say, it's like maybe what's just perfectly meant to be said. Because then when you say something that amazes me and I'm like, wow, that's amazing.
And that's not me. Okay. Let me just tell you. Okay.
Yeah.
It's very like, no, I never plan any of this stuff.
Yeah.
Some of this stuff just comes from Krishna through me. And literally. I'm like, whoa, cool, man.
You know what I mean? I feel the same way.
I feel like that's Krishna in so many ways. Yeah. I cannot take the credit for that.
That's what all of our spiritual masters in this whole movement and around the world, they more and more try to get in line with speaking and acting in a way that is their spiritual master working through them, which ultimately it's Krishna. So it becomes a very esoteric process of our words and actions almost, it sounds funny to say, don't even become our own because we're trying to be in tune with Krishna speaking to us in our hearts.
Yeah.
And what can I say that's really Krishna's will? And that might feel like I'm giving up my own control, but it's the most liberating feeling when you tap into Krishna's higher power.
Yeah, it is. It's something that we can't control. And I'm so grateful to Krishna for putting us in this position and allowing us to say all these things and to learn from each other. Because at the end of the day, whatever Krishna's sending through you, I'm learning from. Whatever Krishna's sending through me, you're learning. And like, we're all just kind of growing from this experience.
Yeah. And you know, when you were saying, Priya, how do we know? Because here Arjuna is being directly told his plan. How should we know? It's a little harder for us to know our own plan. So Prabhupada also hints a little bit at, okay, life should move in such a way that we act in Krishna consciousness and under the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the medium of a spiritual master. So the plans of the Supreme are understood by his mercy. And also the plans of his devotees are as good as his own plans. So that's where we seek guidance by spiritual teachers, by devotees, because it's as good as then hearing Krishna's plan. Because when I'm not fine-tuned enough to hear Krishna speaking to me directly, that's why I seek guidance, my spiritual teachers, spiritual friends, and they all go guiding you through his devotees.
I love Prabhupada's specific use of spiritual master because I think it's a good reminder. Like if you have access, always ask. If you're feeling confused about what to do in your life, ask your spiritual master. And if it's not that person, maybe a mentor or someone like that. But I think like now, thank you for that reminder. It's really helpful. And I'm going to go like, what would my guru say in this situation a little bit more for myself?
Yep.
That was Prabhupada's reminder. And
through you.
What can I say? We're all instruments.
That's real.
And it feels great to be an instrument. It's a cycle of like just feeling the mercy. Because when you feel like Krishna said something through me, it's so empowering. It doesn't take away your own control. And the last line Prabhupada says, one should follow such plans and be victorious in the struggle for existence. So we're on a battlefield also, ladies. We're trying to be victorious in the struggle of existence.
The battlefield of our material lives. It's not as dangerous, but sometimes it feels like that.
It feels like that.
It feels intense.
Yeah.
I'm so excited, guys, because for the next episode, Sanjaya is going to speak again.
I love me some Sanjaya.
Your bestie Sanjaya.
I love him. He's my bestie. It's going to be great.
Oh, love
so excited.
It.
Please join us next time for chapter 11, text number 35.
Hare Krishna.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Hello, beautiful souls. If you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long-lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.